automatically die. Since Vishnu is the central point of Brahminical culture, Hiranyakashipu's plan was to kill Vishnu. But if Vishnu were killed, naturally, Brahminical culture would also be lost.
With Brahminical culture lost, yajna would no longer be performed, and for want of yajna, the regular distribution of rainfall would cease. Yajna bhavati parajanyaha. Thus there would be disturbances all over the world, and naturally the demigods would be defeated. From this verse we get a clear indication of how human society is disturbed when the Vedic Aryan civilization is killed and the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies performed by the Brahmanas are stopped. Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. Because the population of the modern world consists mostly of Shudras, the Brahminical culture is now lost and is extremely difficult to re-establish in a proper way. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which will revive Brahminical culture very easily. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Gatya, Anyata. Because of the increment in demoniac population, people have lost Brahminical culture, nor is there Kshatriya government. Instead, the government is a democracy in which any Shudra can be voted into taking up the governmental reins and capture the power to rule. Because of the poisonous effect of Kali Yuga, the Shastras, Bhagavatam 12:2-13, says, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu. The government will adopt the policies of dasyus, or plunderers. There will be no instructions from the brahmanas, and even if there are brahminical instructions, there will be no kshatriya rulers who can follow them. Aside from Satya Yuga, even formerly, in the days when the demons were flourishing, Hiranyakashipu planned to destroy the Brahminical culture and the Kshatriya government and thus create chaos all over the world. Although in Satya Yuga this plan was very difficult to execute, in Kali Yuga, which is full of Shudras and demons, the Brahminical culture is lost and can be revived only by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Therefore, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, or the Hare Krishna Movement, has been inaugurated to revive Brahminical culture very easily, so that people may become happy and peaceful in this life and prepare for elevation in the next. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya quotes this verse from the Brahmanda Purana. Vipra yajnadi mulam tu harer iti asuram matam harer eva sarvasya mulam samyam mato nipa. O king, the demons think that Hari, Lord Vishnu, exists because of the Brahmanas and the Yajna, but factually Hari is the cause of everything, including the Brahmanas and the Yajna. Therefore, through the popularizing of Harikirtan, or the Sankirtan movement, the Brahminical culture and Kshatriya government will automatically come back and people will be extremely happy. The translation again, the basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pitas, and the people in general. When the Brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the Kshatriyas to perform yajnas, unless the demigods, not being appeased by yajna, will automatically die. Here, in this verse in purport, we see the demonic attitude is there to kill Vishnu and everything related to him. So we actually see that if Krishna is recognized and reestablished in the proper way by the simple method of the cultivation of the holy name of Krishna, certain momentous social consequences will automatically follow. And here, if you look at this purport carefully, Prabhupada is talking about the restoration of Brahminical culture, which includes the restoration of Kshatriyas. Prabhupada has described the society of the modern world is all legs and belly, no brains and no Kshatriyas. He said there's no Brahmins and there are no Kshatriyas, mostly Shudras and a few Vaishyas. Otherwise, there'd be simply Shudras. Shudras simply means chaos altogether. If there's going to be some organized energy, then immediately there has to be Vaishya activity. But if it's Shudras, then there's no organization, no management. There's just chaos. So there's some order. So that means, and of course there's manufacturing, enterprise, and making of money. So that indicates the Vaishya activity is there. But that's it. So, no Brahmins and no Kshatriyas. So, Prabhupada, when he talks about Brahminical culture, he also talks about Kshatriyas. Notice how here, for example, Dijakriya Mula. Vijaya, twice born, refers to Brahmanas, but also it can refer to Kshatriyas. So in the word for word, Prabhupada has specifically said Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Vijaya, when he was taken second birth, got in sacred thread. So that's also for Kshatriyas. Many, many times, Vijaya simply refers to Brahmanas. So in the translation, he just refers to Brahminical culture. But in the word for word and in the purport, he includes Kshatriyas in there. Because he tells us exactly why the Kshatriyas are important. He said, and even if there are Brahmanas, nobody will be able to carry out their order unless there are Kshatriyas. So these two things have to be there. This is God-ordained. Human society is created by Krishna with these four groups. And human life, human culture, will not exist so that people can be peaceful, materially well off, and making spiritual advancement unless it is all in place. And because of Kali Yuga, what was very difficult for Prabhupada saying here, what was very difficult for Hiranyakashipu to do in Satya Yuga, now has automatically happened. And so there's misrule everywhere. So plenty of opportunities for the demons. To take over and run things, which has pretty much happened. So the chanting of Hare Krishna is meant to totally revolutionize Western culture. Not just by going off in a little corner and chanting Hare Krishna, but by re-establishing Brahmins. You start with Brahmins. And then there will be, as a consequence of that, Kshatriyas. And when there are Kshatriyas, there will be shift in power. And that's what you expect to happen. Otherwise, you'll not find that anything happens. If you really want to make changes, then you have to have government power. In the first canto, Prabhupada says that no religious principles or ideology can progressively advance without the support of a government. And in fact, you'll find in history that that's precisely how things happen. Christianity did not spread until Emperor Constantine became a Christian. Buddhism did not spread until Emperor Ashoka became a Buddhist. Islam, right away, was immediately Muhammad took over a city and ran a government instantly, almost very quickly. Indeed. Anyway, history, it's just the facts of life. But nobody's simply interested in some power struggle. But here it is that Brahminical culture has to be there. What are the business of the Brahmanas? Their qualifications are given: Shama, Dhamma, Tapa, Socham, Shantam, Arjavam, Jnana Vijnana, Astikyam. So Jnana means they know the absolute truth. That's what Brahmins are supposed to be. They have vision, they know. They have realized knowledge of the absolute truth. That's vijnana, jnana vijnana. They know it. They know the books. And they can relate it to the practices of daily life. They know the absolute truth. And they know how in human life everything should be systematically related to that absolute truth. They're not ivory tower intellectuals who can spin out philosophical systems, but that have no bearing on the concrete course of human events. They know the difference between, they know what's right and they know what's wrong. They know what's true and they know what's false. don't say, I don't know. They don't say, I'm confused. They don't say, well, everybody has his theory. They don't say, what they say now, that there is no truth. Nobody knows what the truth is. They don't know the truth, that's all. Now, because intellectuals do not know how to know the absolute truth, they've simply succumbed to impotence, really. All they can say to people is, we don't know, when they're trying to teach everybody. Well, nobody knows the truth, and you don't know the truth. And so, whatever you say, that's relative. Whatever anyone says is relative. It's just a reflection of their position, social, economic, political, class, gender, race. All you do is you reflect, your point of view. And we just have to let everybody have their say and do their thing. That's all. If you try to convince anybody that X is right and Y is wrong, it's simply an act of imperialism. This is the politically correct thinking in colleges and universities in America. It's even called PC, politically correct. Everyone is right, Everyone is right. You're not supposed to say that anybody. So that's the big thing, big debate going on in the United States, that any literature course has to have works of whatever merit by Native Americans, lesbians, homosexuals, this, that, on and on, whatever little minority you can find that you think that has been out of the power structure, they have to be represented. And this is being crammed down everybody's throat. The big resistance is, there was an article about this, that this is what intellectuals are doing. It was decided in one place that it was prejudice to call somebody handicapped. Someone had no arms or legs. You could not call them disabled. The word was banned as being an ableist, and just like there's sexist and racist, so there's ableist prejudice. And so people were instructed that people who were formerly called disabled were going to be called differently abled. This is what intellectuals are doing. So-called intellectuals who have no vision. They simply juggle words and try to change things around. Telling everybody there's no truth for anybody. What's true is true for you. But you can't impose it on anyone else. But, of course, you see what happens. This whole package is being imposed on everybody. They won't take their relativism so far as to realize that they can't. If you're going to doubt everything, you have to doubt your doubting. And say, so if everything is relative, so is the idea that everything is relative. So maybe there's an absolute. They don't go that far, unfortunately. Because they like their position also. They want to be authorities. They want to be, anyway. This is what happens when there's nobody can give society guidance. Nobody can tell anybody what is life for. They can simply add to the confusion. No brahmanas. By speculation, they understand the difficulties of speculation. They understand the conditioned nature of human thought, human speculative thought. They say, well, it's all conditioned, therefore we can't believe any of it. and they cannot give any guidance. That's all. They think that everybody reflects their own historical, political circumstances, and the only thing that's really wrong is to think that that's true for everybody, or that it has any validity whatsoever independently of your conditions. That's all. So ideas, it's just like a fashion, like the clothes you want to wear. It has no more basis in reality than you just pick it up and put it on, take it off. This is the inevitable consequence of it. So society is just headless, like brainless. Nobody knows what is our purpose. President of the United States is lining up everybody to go to war, and people say, what are we fighting for? And everybody's saying, nobody knows for sure. There's no purpose. So Prabhupada said, I've come to give you a brain. Intellectuals are people who know the absolute truth. Now the absolute truth, the big secret, the great secret to knowing the absolute truth is that it can be known under certain material conditions. Actually, there need to be certain material conditions established for the absolute truth to begin to be perceptible. Those material conditions, that material condition is called sattva guna, the mode of goodness. This is the big secret that has been lost. That's why the other qualities of a Brahman, Shama, Dhamma, Tapa, this equality of mind, austerity, following regular principles, tolerance, these things, cleanliness, these things aren't there. You'll never know the absolute truth. So go to any university in America where they think they're training up the guide, the leaders, the intellectuals, and tell them, before you can study, please follow these regulative principles. Then you can know the truth. Well, I think you're crazy. They have no notion of this. And their behavior is degraded. So the student community is simply gone. They're not being trained. They have all the habits that one associates formally with Shudras, very low class people. But it's a simple thing. It's easy to grasp. Knowledge depends on goodness. So the effect of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra under certain regulative principles is that the modes of passion and ignorance begin to diminish. This is attested to Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That verse, that's what it says. That when there is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nityam means practice on a regulated daily basis. This word Nitya, of course, it means eternal, but it also has a sense of repetitive practice. There's a book on daily activities of a devotee. It's just simply called Nitya. This is what you do every day. So Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavata means that which is in relation to Bhagavan. Sevya means worship or service. So, by regularly or daily rendering service to two kinds of Bhagavatas. One is the book, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other is the person who's in relation, or the devotee of Krishna. By the sevya, the service of spiritual master, and Bhagavatam on a nitya, regular basis, not sometimes on again, sometimes off again, then the modes of passion and the modes of ignorance will begin to disappear from the heart. When that happens, knowledge begins to develop. Otherwise, you may look at Srimad Bhagavatam, but it will be opaque. Certainly there'll be some benefit to reading Srimad Bhagavatam, no matter what. But to actually learn the truths that are being given here, so that you can know the absolute truth, then this Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya has to be there. So Prabhupada's business for his hope for this ISKCON was to set up a society to provide the setting for Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. In fact, when he translates that verse, he calls it, by regularly attending Srimad Bhagavatam class, he says. That's what it's for. So why is that society there? To create the conditions under which Srimad Bhagavatam could be heard. You need a school. You're going to teach Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis, you need a school. You want a school? You have to have students. You want students? You want them to live like they live in the dorms at the University of Pennsylvania? No. You want actual brahmachari qualified students. Actually are in a position to learn Srimad Bhagavatam. No sense, you know, hoarding a bunch of people who are in the mode of passion and ignorance and sitting them down and reading Srimad Bhagavatam to them. Feed them prasadam and send them back out in the street, but don't cast your pearls before swine. So that's Prabhupada's business, to create the place. So that if it's actually followed, then there will be brahmanas, people who can tell you what to do. One of Prabhupada's disciples said to Prabhupada, "You should be king." He says, "No." He says, "I don't want to be king." He says, "You be king, I'll tell you what to do." So you should people that can tell people what to do. And then so that's the first duty of our society. And then by our preaching, there'll be others that'll become more purified, but not quite enough to be brahmanas. This, so far as I can understand how this thing works, they'll be kshatriyas. They're also twice born. Kshatriya is also very, very powerful. They also, I mean, not to be neglected. To whom was Bhagavad Gita spoken? A brahmana? No. A kshatriya. What was the ancient disciplic succession through which Bhagavad Gita was passed down in the olden days? It was the Surya Vamsha Kshatriyas, the Kshatriyas who descend from the sun. To whom did Shukadeva Goswami speak Srimad Bhagavatam? A brahmana? No. A kshatriya. So also dvija. But kshatriyas are men of action. And without the brahmanas, without the kshatriyas, the brahmanas cannot accomplish so much. In other words, a brahmana doesn't Kshatriyas have practical organizing intelligence. They have this quality called Ishvara Bhava. That is to say, the mood, the bhava, attitude of being the Ishvara. Prabhupada translates it as leadership. In the United States Army, they call it command presence. The man with command presence walks into the room and immediately he says, do something, people just do it. This is required. This is Kshatriya. So that's necessary. Kshatriyas can endure all kinds of physical suffering and with great determination. And another characteristic is they feel at home on a battlefield. Courage in battle. They don't turn around and run. This is Kshatriya quality. Sometimes it's thought in ISKCON that somebody who's a temple president is a Kshatriya. But that's like managing a Sunday school. Kshatriya. ISKCON that somebody who's a temple president is a Kshatriya. But that's like managing a Sunday school. Kshatriya means you're willing to lead men in battle where people are dying all around you. That's what's happening. An amazing thing. You think about what it is. Because really, when it comes down to it, Kshatriya is somebody who deals with death. That's what governments do. The ultimate reason the government has power over the citizens, it can kill them. That's what a government can do. That's what police have guns. They have this power. Of course, there are some rules under which they can do it, but it's there. And sometimes they shoot first and ask questions later. So this is required. It would be nice if people could get along without that. Kshatriyas. And it used to be that way. It was called Satyayuga. In Satyayuga, there weren't Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. There was just one class. They weren't called Brahmanas, they were called Hamsas. And they had some leaders who were called Paramahamsas. But it was only later. So given the state of the modes of nature, this system is required. And everything but Satyayuga. So Kshatriya must also be there. So the principle of Brahmins and Kshatriyas, they work together as a team. There's specialization. Because the Brahmana, in order to perceive the truth, he has to stay aloof from the practical turmoils of day-to-day political life. I mean, the kind of political life, you see, like what we have sometimes in ISKCON, you know, we have what is called politics. We have fights. You know, everybody comes to a meeting with their briefcases and they take out their papers and they have a meeting. And then it's all over and everybody puts their papers back in the briefcases and goes home. It may have been a very heavy meeting. People may have screamed at each other. I mean, it doesn't happen so much. But, you know, so say that it's like that. But at the end, you see, everybody closes the briefcase and goes home.
Kshatriya means you have meetings to settle things and there's bodies when it's finished. In other words, you lose, you can die. It's a whole other level of realism there. I mean, all is not that it happens all the time. But even in the Kshatriya weddings, or to speak of meetings, it was typically, you know, losers who were on the floor. So this is, nature is there. We have to think of kind of people. A Brahmin can't be involved in that business. He needs to be peaceful, unagitated mind to understand the absolute truth. But he gives instructions from the Kshatriyas. So the interesting thing is the Kshatriya, the big, powerful fellows, why are they submissive to these Brahmanas? Little, skinny. You know, it's like in high school, you don't see that. You see the guys who play football and are big and powerful, and then the kids who are, you know, all into computers and intellectuals, they wimps, nerds, you know. They don't like them. But this one says that the Kshatriyas, they worship the Brahmanas, and they follow them. So why is that? The reason is the Brahmanas have a power of their own. It's called Brahmana Tejas. Sometimes, of course, because they hear that the power is there, that they perform sacrifice and they can make things happen. But a Brahmin who actually knows the absolute truth and who's detached and who's undisturbed, and his first qualification is very smart, he can help Kshatriya a lot. He needs him. He needs the intelligence of the Brahmana. He needs his direction and needs his guidance. And if the Brahmanas have done their job, they've had this little boy Kshatriya since he was 5 years old. They've been his teachers all along. And he's been trained with the principles of devotional service in his heart. So that he also knows what the ultimate goal of life is. He understands where society is going. He understands that what the purpose is, that certain things, like Maharaj Kripa, he understood that when he saw this man killing a cow, he had to kill him. If you actually had Kshatriyas, are there any Kshatriyas in this country? Why are people dealing drugs on the corner? If you had Kshatriyas in this country, you could go up on Germantown Avenue, drop a wallet full of money, come back 2 hours later and it'd still be sitting there. That's if you had Kshatriyas. That's what it would mean. Certain people would be terrified to do anything wrong. So that's what because they would understand, you know, that this business of intoxication and thieves and corruption is so destructive, and it's not being honest for honesty's sake. Is that you want to bring people back to Godhead, or at least to elevate them. When Prabhupada says elevate them, he says at least to the higher planets. At least that should be there. So a Kshatriya's business, he understands the importance of religious principles and he enforces them. At one point, I remember hearing a tape. This is an extraordinary lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave, and I do not now know if you can actually find that. tape anymore on the tape ministry because it was so extraordinary. Prabhupada was lecturing on Maharaj Parikshit and how he received the age of Kali. And when he saw this Shudra dressed as a king killing a cow, he pulled his sword and was ready to kill him. And Prabhupada said in his lecture, yes, he said, this must be done. And then he said like this. I mean, he was, understand that he was in the mood of Maharaj Parikshit. He said, is anyone having illicit sex? No, he started out meeting. Is anyone eating meat? Kill him! Is anyone having illicit sex? Kill him! Is anyone taking intoxicants? Kill him! He said, at first, some people will die. He said, but then there will be no more these things. And he said, isn't it better that a few people die and the whole society is saved than you just let them go on and thousands of people go to hell? Well, those of us, you know, who used to be liberals in our youth, we're a little upset by this. You know, is anyone having illicit sex? Kill them! Yeah. Well, I said he was speaking in the mood of Maharaj Parikshit, and Paul was pretty fired up. But it's a point. And the point is that there's Kali Yuga, and unless these things are enforced like that. For example, you know, there's a country, Singapore. They do that. If anyone, with drugs anyway, if anyone is caught with a certain amount of drugs, they're executed. You know, and they warn you before you came in there. I flew through there. On the plane, they make an announcement, you know, that the penalty, the death penalty is there for any marijuana, hashish, anything, any drugs. In this country, we're warned all over the place. And every so often, somebody goes in there, you know, some teenage girl from England or something who doesn't pay any attention to, not to alert, and she has like some drugs on her. That's what they do. There's always a drama periodically every year with Singapore that some, you know, family goes from England or America someplace and some little teenage kid who was spaced out and had, you know, some joints. But you know what they do in Singapore? They execute them. They don't make big exceptions. You know, there's diplomatic protests. They don't. They do this. And you feel real sorry for this kid, you know. For being, you don't think the kid was bad, just really, really stupid. Maybe because by our standards, oh, it's just a little marijuana. You know, here nobody would care. But there they care. And the thing is, in Singapore, there are no drugs. And you go through customs, they check you. People are scared. And they just, there are no drugs in Singapore. There's also no religion in Singapore, but that's another thing. There's still not Brahmanas there. But this is a fact. People will not do that here. You know, it is not enforced. Laws are passed that nobody expects to be obeyed, just to go through the motions. You know, so this is foolishness. So Kshatriyas, they need to be controlled by Brahmanas. Brahmanas can do it because they know the truth. They have seen the truth. They're convinced and they're convincing. The Kshatriyas follow them. And they need the intelligence of Brahmanas. You'll see all throughout Vedic literature, the original Brahminical position is that of a minister. In British form of government, the prime minister. That was the Brahmana. The advisor to the king. So when in Ramchandra, when they have their court, you know, Vashishtha Muni is there, you know, they all have their Brahmanas come and say, well, here we have a problem, this is happening, that's happening. They say, well, you should do this and you should do that. That's where they get intelligent guidance and advice, and at no cost. So, anyway, I kept talking past time. No time for this. So anyway, Prabhupada's plan then, actually his plan for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, is first of all that we revive Brahminical culture, and then Kshatriyas will, as a matter of course, follow from that. And when that happens, there start to be actually political changes. And when there are political changes, there start to be social, economic, and other kinds of changes. And in this way, Vedic civilization will be reestablished, starting from the chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Okay. Verse 2, Prabhupada.